Quincy. I speak, of course, of French-born extraordinaire player Laura Seaver.
I was actually going to talk Caitlin Clark in Time's Athlete of the Year, but yeah, we had a great time on Sunday. Nice little crowd, you know. Civic music is one of those things that that falls off the radar, and I know it's a busy time of year. We had a nice crowd, and I said afterwards that it was the most music literate crowd we've ever played in front of as the Iowa Brass. Like, everyone there really is a musician. But the best part of that entire event was the current director of the Iowa Brass. His name's Alex Beamer. Got to meet Pam Potter, and we got a photo op with those two together. Pam, of course, the director of the Quincy's Mississippi River Brass Band, which has since disbanded, but it was the band in the 80s and 90s that was the one to beat for the nation and actually started the Iowa Brass. So the people who started the Iowa Brass came to Quincy, met Pam and company, and came back and started the group that I'm now playing with out of Iowa. So, and now they're flying and,
now they're world famous.
So, yep, it was
all
fun.
All roads lead to Quincy, as Chuck Schultz and Jack Frogger say. All roads.
That kind of is true. It's a little freaky.
It is freaky, but I couldn't agree with you more. I think it is true. Okay, before we get into arts, the rest of the arts, then tell us about Caitlin Clark. I know you're dying.
Oh, no, she just won Athlete of the Year from Time Magazine, and a real good article in there about that. And when I think about Caitlin Clark, see, I've met her a couple of times, and my son has seen her play, and we were there for the big buzzer beater versus Michigan State. But one of the things, maybe an inside story of Caitlin Clark, is I ran into her. I know the basketball coach, and I was talking to her, and she came up behind us, and I, you know, fangirled a little bit. I was like, oh, my God, it's Caitlin Clark. This is in the end zone at the football stadium, actually. And she goes, she turns to me and goes, oh, the band. We love the band. We love that the alumni come and play. Thank you so much for being here. And I'm like, did you just thank me for being here? You know, it was one of those moments. But I said, oh, my gosh, we love to support. And I've been a women's basketball fan since I was in school there, because the women were always very gracious to us in the band, and they mm-hmm. appreciated that we were there, you know. The basketball coach used to take us out to dinner once a year. We went to the Hard Rock out in Utah with the women's basketball team, you know, and I just always liked to support that team because they supported us, and then they had this great success and this great player. So when I see her on the cover of Time Magazine, I think, there's somebody who gets it, that it's an ecosystem, that a band person is there, that a fan is there, really appreciates it, and that's what I'll take away from my brush with greatness of Caitlin Clark.
And my hope, since I don't know her, my hope is that Caitlin Clark will always remember her roots. She now, I think she made $12 million last year. She'll probably make 10 times that in the years to come. Women's basketball. She's not making that from her salary.
Her salary is less than mine at the Arts Council,
yeah,
I believe.
She makes no money.
$65,000 is like the high salary.
Yeah,
there.
She makes no money actually playing for the Indiana team, but she is making money on her endorsements and her commercials. And one thing I would hope, now that she has wealth to give back, it will be nice to know that there's somebody who does appreciate those who stood behind her, like the band at Iowa, like the coaches at Iowa. Hopefully she will be a great benefactor, not only to that school, but to her high school, to any charity that ever helped her.
Do you know that she has started a foundation, and it's partially based in Catholic? She went to a Catholic Dowling in Des Moines, so she's Catholic education and Catholic athletics, so that's a big deal to her, too.
That is fantastic. And again,
I thought you'd like that.
I do. I always think to myself, these athletes, many of them came from abject poverty, not her, but I mean, some of these people come from really abject poverty. And you can always tell the ones that know what a hard life is, because the first thing they do is buy their mama a house. You know,
that's right.
It's not, I'm getting myself a big car, or I'm getting a, you know, 2-carat diamond earring for my ear, or I'm going to, you know, buy a mink coat, you know, for myself and my girlfriend. But it's the ones that buy their mama a car, or a house and a car. And it's the ones that make a donation to their high school so the gym can be restored and stuff like that. That's when you really know that people understand that greatness was given to them, and they worked on that gift from God, and they made it perfect, and now they're giving it back.
And one of the things she did was, when she was still at Iowa, was take the entire team on a big vacation, and Nike paid for it. She's like, yeah, I can do an endorsement for you, but here's one of the conditions.
Wow.
Because a lot of those girls, will never go on to play basketball.
Name one other. You'll know them, but
yeah,
I know.
I know him. Kate Martin is one, but
the average person. Some of them are going, yeah. Who the heck is Caitlin Clark? Who are they? It's the famous standout woman from Iowa who went on to be drafted in the NBA or the
WNBA.
WNBA.
Yep.
Anyway, and that's the other thing. I foresee not too far in the future when the very, 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 very best female athlete will get an NBA shot.
They always talk about wanting to do exhibitions with Caitlin playing on an NBA
yeah.
team. I don't know if she's super interested in that. She really wants to bring the eyes.
I think she wants to bring,
you know, yeah,
women's
to bring
basketball
women's
into
basketball.
It. Yeah. I think the great thing about her, again, is she's the rising tide that lifts all the boats. She's not saying, hey, I'm making $12 million. Anybody else who's famous is just taking money away from me. She's trying to bring everybody along.
When I was in college from 2000, 2004, that's when I was there at Iowa, it was Coach Bluter's first couple of years, and they used to have to bring the dividers down so the stadium didn't look so big and empty, right? And then by this year with Caitlin in the last few years and even now, they're sold out. The men's basketball is not sold out, right? You can get a ticket to men's ball at Iowa right now, but you can't get a ticket to women's basketball. And so I just love seeing how far that program has come, not just at Iowa, but everywhere, you know, to see women's sports. But I always think the band is more part of that than you think. You know, we used to play all of the men's games, all of the women's games, all of the wrestling meets. We were there all the time and, you know, supporting our people, but the women appreciated it the most. You know, they always wanted to be a part
right.
of it.
Because they knew how close they were to being non-existent. They built that over a long series of tradition. Well, that leads us right into arts. Really it does. Because the candlelight tours at the Historical Society of Quincy in Adams County, Hal Oakley, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hal Oakley and his wife help pay for this every year. This is a personal project of theirs and has been for years. And just think about that. You know, that one family that has meant so much to Quincy and what they've given, and they keep giving. But absolutely, Quincy has given to them, too, in the sense that they've all made their livings here, and many of their children have found their homes here. So the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County has been building and building and building on a vast history of historical excellence, and one of the showcases is their John Wood Governor's Mansion, which was rescued from the wrecking ball, and you have a chance to go through it starting Friday night and Saturday night, and then the 20th, 21st, and even after Christmas on the 26th from 5 to 7, reservations are required at the John Wood Mansion Candlelight Tour. Laura Sievert from Arts Quincy, tell us all about it, please.
You know, the John Wood Mansion is one of those things I think that people pass on State Street all the time, and then they don't stop.
Don't go in. Go in. It's fabulous.
I'm telling you, I actually just, not to go back to the prior topic, but I had the Iowa Brass down here, and so I actually took some of them to the mansion, and I took some of them to the villa. Like, stop and see these places, you guys, because it is a good way to be a tourist in your hometown, and there's no better time to see the Historical Society's John Wood Mansion than the Candlelight Tour, because, first of all, great musicians featured every single week. This week's 12th Street Brass, which is an ensemble born out of the Quincy Concert Band, of course. But each week they have another set of performers, so you could go every week and see something great, right?
If you just want to hear the music, you could go Friday night is 12th Street Brass, Saturday night, Javot Cellist, Stony Roots December 20th, Eventide Singers the 21st, and Logan Kammerer on the 26th, the day after Christmas. So again,
yeah.
Different music. If you say, I want to pick according to my musical genre that I support, make your reservation that night.
And if you're like me and just really love music, go to all of them, you know. This is a great chance to learn about Quincy's history. My favorite little factoid about the Governor John Wood Mansion is that it was moved over a hedgerow. Not just moved, but they decided to go over a hedgerow.
Mrs. Wood did not want
yeah.
her Osage Orangery hedge destroyed. So they cut the house in half.
Very diva move.
Yeah.
That's a very diva move.
She ran it, baby. They cut the house in half. They rolled it with mules carrying it, and
right.
they rolled it up over the hedge with this platform so that the head, and then the house was in two pieces. They put it back together. You can see where the house was divided.
Uh-huh.
If you go on the tour, on the regular tour, they tell you all about that. But just think about that.
Yeah.
That house, which, and that's why it faces west, which is unusual.
Right.
Most houses in that style all face east. Well,
right.
it did. Except they moved it across the street,
right.
and they wanted to orient it to the street, so that That type of architecture is unusual in a Western facing. But you'll get to go walk through the bottom floor of the mansion. It's all by candlelight because there was no electricity back then.
Right.
So you'll see that. Oh, I love the spittoon that looks like it. Everybody look for the spittoon that looks like a turtle. Maybe they have it. Maybe they have a poinsettia.
Everybody has their favorite thing. Do you know what my favorite item in the mansion is? So I have the same birthday as Abraham Lincoln, and he was like 6'6". He was very tall, right? And there's this little bitty table. That little tiny table, and they said he had like tea or lunch or something at this little table. And I'm thinking, if I sit at that table, because I've sat at the table, I'm pretty crowded.
Yeah.
Now, what does a 6'6 dude look like sitting at this tiny table? It must have been hysterical. It must have been like a guy in an airplane seat. It must have been like
knees. That was his whole life, because nobody back then was that tall. And it's the Browning table, and he was really good friends with the Brownings, and especially her. In fact, she kind of classed him up enough that Mary Todd Lincoln was even interested in him. So, you know, it's so, the whole story, the John Wood Mansion just tells a million stories. I love the turtle spittoon, so everybody look for that. And then you probably can't look for this, not during the candlelight tour, but John Wood had secret compartments in his desk.
Mm-hmm, I knew that one, yep.
And so he would, you know, hide things there that he didn't want his wife like you said, ran the show.
when kids go, I always show them the horsehair couch too.
Yeah,
the horsehair upholstered couch. That's always they're like, what do you think that's made out of, guys?
So that's My Little Pony.
My Little Ponytail. Ponytail.
So anyway, there are multiple nights to go, but you really need reservations. Now, does that mean if you show up, they'll turn you away? Probably not. But there's no cost. It's not that it sells out. It's just that there's limited amount of
space,
tickets.
Yeah.
So call this number, 222-1835, 222-1835, or go to hsqac.org and get on the reservation list. It starts at 5. There's tours every 20 minutes. It ends at 7, so there's multiple times during each night when you can go.
And that is not the only big news from the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County. I want to be the first to invite you, if you haven't heard yet, to the groundbreaking here at the Quincy History Museum on the Square that is going to be happening next Tuesday, the 17th, at 10 a.m., right across the street from where we're sitting here at the Mary Griffith Studio. WTAD studio, I guess. We'll just call it the Mary Griffith Studio.
I like the upgrade.
But as you may know, Arts Quincy has been working really hard for years to help with a big project over there. We got a $1.5 million grant from the state that took 4 years of our work to work on with legislators and decision makers, and we're finally breaking ground on that project. That's Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Afterwards, after we do the groundbreaking, Rob Mellon from the Historical Society will say a few words. I'm going to say a few words as Arts Quincy and, of course, that big grant. And then we're all going to go inside and have refreshments and music and the whole thing. So we're just getting the word out about this. We were hoping to get it done before the end of the year, and we got it all together. So that's next Tuesday, the 17th. And the things that we're working on there are including fixing the roof, putting in an elevator, and hopefully expanding off the back, depending on the rest of the fundraising that happens, expanding off the back and having a new classroomy area and visitor center. So
the elevator and the restrooms are the key focus, because that's what prompted it to be a handicap accessible. But while they're building the addition, and they still are in the throes of fundraising. So folks, I know I've already given, but I may give again. I mean, 25 is another year. They really, really, they've already signed a contract with a local builder who is being very nice about it, saying, well, I'll build this thing for you, but what do you mean you don't have enough money to pay me? Well, we'll just keep hoping.
We're working on it, yeah.
I tell you, it's just a community project that really needs your support. And if you've ever, ever loved the library, if you've ever loved the Historical Society, if you love downtown Quincy, if you have a love for things that are the anchor of our community, please give to the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County so they can complete this project the way they want it to be done and not leave out any of this important stuff. But next Tuesday is the official groundbreaking.
And people may wonder, we actually thought that when we applied for these dollars, or when we started having conversations about this, that $1.5 million was going to cover the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
It just took 4 years to get it, and there was a global pandemic in the middle of that or whatever.
Well, COVID, I mean, the state awarded you the money, but then when COVID came, everybody was frightened.
They sat
and they're like,
on
hey,
it,
look,
yeah.
You know, we don't know what we're dealing with here. I mean, we think it's an important project, but I'm not giving you $1.5 million if I may have to have medical care for the entire state of Illinois. If I was the governor, I would have held back too. You know, I mean, it's just the way life goes. So now it's everything's great. We want it to move forward.
Right.
And fundraising is underway. I know Lynn Ewaner, the president of the board, is very wanting everybody to give. So please do. And
come on over to the groundbreaking.
Come
It'll
on over
fun.
To the groundbreaking. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Laura's going to stay. She has no choice. And we're going to talk more about things that are happening at the Quincy Museum, the Quincy Youth Chorus, end of the year giving, all kinds of things happening with Arts Quincy. You'll hear it here on WTAD as you do every Wednesday morning. This broadcast powered by Refreshment Services Pepsi Harvest Ridge Coffee. And I'll be there December 20th in the VIP section. It's sold out, but you can still get tickets to see Taylorville. So if you never got a chance to see her Eras tour, which I didn't have $1 million, so I couldn't afford a ticket there, I can go to the Oakley Lindsay Center next Friday night and have a great, great time, and I'm looking fully forward to that. Thank you to Rex Battery for sponsoring our farm markets, as they do almost each and every morning here on WTAD. We are sitting in the Mary Griffith studio, newly christened now by, I'll take it, Laura Siebert.
That's right.
Has named it, you know, it apparently only maybe for this brief fleeting moment. I think Scott Hardy will have something to say about that, but he's not listening right now, so who cares? He's doing other management details. We talked about the Candlelight Tours December 13th. That's this Friday night, Saturday night, the 20th and 21st and the 26th from 5 to 7. St. Nicholas Party. St. Nicholas Day was the 6th, but they had so much going on at the Quincy Museum last weekend with Miracle on Main, they didn't have time, so St. Nicholas is getting around to coming to the Quincy Museum late, but that's okay. Saturday, December 14th is the St. Nicholas Party, as it always is every year at the Quincy Museum, 6 to 7, 16th and Main. Tell us about that, please.
Yeah, you know, he was over in Germany and just running a little late, and, you know...
Couldn't get a flight. Rudolph was on vacation.
Well, yeah, he's got to save up. He's training. So bring the kids on out to Quincy Museum on Saturday for the St. Nicholas Party. You'll get, of course, stories and songs and a special visit by St. Nicholas himself, but really learn about the German tradition of St. Nicholas. It's a very German town, obviously. We'll learn about the tradition of leaving your shoes outside your door with a carrot stuffed inside for the reindeer and get a few treats in return. It's going to be a lot of fun. Museum volunteers will also be a part of that. They'll give you a carrot on your way out, and parents will be surreptitiously handed us behind the back bag of treats. But it is a terrific party. I took my kids to this. Actually, I took my oldest son to this before I had my second one. So I've been doing this for years, and it's just a lot of fun to lay on the big rug in the middle of the floor and listen to Saint Nick and learn about this tradition. So admission is just $3, and that covers your carrot and your prizes. You can reserve your seat, or you can. I think they can take you at the door as well. They're the Quincy Museum. This Saturday from 6 to 7.
So it's $3 per child. Parents are free, and they'll get the carrot to take home. They can put their shoes out, and magically the next morning, even though it's not St. Nicholas Day, it'll be Sunday, December 15th, St. Nicholas will come to Quincy and visit all the kids who are at the party at the Quincy Museum the night before. So please go to thequincymuseum.org, and we'll have guests from the Quincy Museum on tomorrow as well. The Youth Chorus auditions. This is a specialized group of people, but let's talk about this. Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, Christ Lutheran Church. If your child is interested in singing, whether boy or girl, this would be a great way for them to really learn the technique, to really get into different genres of music, and to really expand their musical education. This is a lot of fun for children in grades 3 through 12. Boys need to have unchanged voices, right?
In the youth chorus, then they'll bump up to the
then they'll
the
bump
regular.
Up when their voice changed. It goes up to the big kids,
right? I'm going to tell you, I sadly did not know a lot about this organization about this time last year, but my next door neighbor, one of our best friends, she auditioned for this. She's a fourth grader at Baldwin, and now I have gotten to see her perform and gotten to know this group. And golly, I mean, talk about some talented kids. She has loved being a part of the Quincy Symphony's Youth Chorus. And it really wasn't as scary an audition as she thought it was, and I know your kid can do it too. So you're just going to sing something. Your kid can sing any song that they want. They just want to, you know, hear if they can carry a tune. But they're going to learn how to be part of a choir and how to really blend voices and listen to other people and hold a part and all of those things. And it's a year, my neighbor Lydia has been in this. You should see the improvement over 1 year of being with this great group. So it's really quite something, and she's quite the musical kiddo. I love watching her sing. Every accepted singer will perform in a concert on March 30th. I should say tuition for this group is $40, but there are scholarships available, so don't let the dollars slow you down here. If you need help to afford this, or we can definitely help with that. You just have the kiddos prepare a song that they enjoy and sing it for their audition. My neighbor kid sang a song from The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, I mean, they just want to see your voice and your range.
Right.
It's something you're comfortable with. Have your kids sing a song. Shake It Off from Taylor Swift, you know, whatever,
yeah.
Just so that they get an idea of what their vocal range is and you know, how much experience they have. And you don't have to have any experience, but they're going to teach you everything. That's why it's such a learning experience. A lot of homeschooled kids are in this because it's a way for them to get music education. So it's,
yeah, that too.
It's,
yeah,
it's really great. And I know that, you know, my goddaughter was in this, and I really enjoyed going to see her concert. So if you have somebody who is in grades 3 to 12, boy or girl, and they want to be part of the Quincy Symphony Orchestra Youth Chorus, auditions are Saturday morning at 10 o'clock at Christ Lutheran Church. Call for an appointment time. Call 222-2856 or go to qsoa.org. Anything else for the good of the cause? I've kept you over time today.
No, I mean, just remember at the end of the year here, your donations matter into what we do next year. So if you've ever thought about becoming a member of Arts Quincy, we try to make it easy. I really like the sustaining memberships. It's $5 or $10 a month. I always say, buy the arts a cup of coffee, and we'll put it to work right here in the community. Or you can do a one-time gift. Certainly, it's obviously tax-deductible and all of the things that you want it to be. So, you know, we appreciate everybody who does that. You will be getting our Christmas gift in your mailbox if you make an end-of-year donation and have that chance to win the original pastel of the Lewis County Round Barn, a piece called An Adams County Glow.
Not the Lewis County.
Or the Lewis
Round Barn in Adams County.
I
know it's confusing,
fast.
But
yeah.
It's the Round Barn that you see up by the Adams County Fairgrounds, and a great artist by the name of Laura Sievert is the one who did the pastel, and
it's the first time I've ever done our gift. I'm very nervous about it. I had an artist in my office yesterday looking at it, and he's like, well, you could have done this a little different. I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right. I tried.
Wow, critical.
Well,
wow.
We artists, we're tough on each other. It's
well, that's
bad.
I thought it was beautiful.
Well,
and
thank you.
I hope I get my own copy. And maybe I'll make a gift of $25 so I can get in the drawing, as they say, and have an original piece of Laura Sievert artwork on my wall. Laura, I'm sure you'll be back next week, but we probably won't see you. That next week will probably be the end because we won't be here you won't come on Christmas. Yeah.
Day after Christmas, yeah, probably not.
No,
probably
you're not going to be doing that.
Probably
no.
Just sitting around eating
just
leftovers,
around
watching
leftovers.
My kids destroy all the toys that I bought. It'll be great.
So, you know, I just want to tell you, in case we run short of time next week, I just want to tell you how much I enjoy teasing you about your love for the University of Iowa. I do love your passion. Your passion for everything that you're involved with is very, very heartwarming. Yesterday, we had a whole Mary Griffith show about the collaboration between the Arts Center, which is a member of Arts Quincy, and the Quincy Public Schools third grade, the artwork that they're going to be doing this next coming semester. So it's just amazing what the arts do in our community, and I thank you for being the spearhead of all that, the tip of the spear, keeping that. And next Tuesday, what time, 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock, yep.
Groundbreaking for the addition for the Quincy Historical Museum here at 4th and Main. We'll be back in just a moment. Take a break. One of my favorite Alison Krauss songs for you to close out our Mary Griffith show.
Changing. the long bitter nights and the wild winter's day. My heart is grown cold, my love's stored away. My heart is grown cold, my love's stored away. My tracks in the snow, where souls have been lost in the walking wounded gold. I've taken the pain no girl should endure, but they can move mountains of
today. Sometimes the Mary Griffith Show is just for me, and that was Alison Krauss, and that was Just For Me. Folks, I've loved today. One of my guests didn't show up. That's okay. We deal with that on the Mary Griffith Show, but we'll be back tomorrow to give you another great show. You stay tuned.